are listening to Cinema Chat. It is 89.1 WEMU, your community NPR station, and each week we get together with Russ Collins. He is the executive director of the Michigan and State Theaters in Ann Arbor. Welcome back. Good to see you again.
Yeah, it's good to be here. Well, every week a new set of awards come out.
Yeah, and this week, endless.
That's right.
And there is no industry that likes to congratulate itself more.
Well, and it should be that way, I think, somehow. Good old show business. So the Screen Actors Guild gave out their awards. And the reason that this is important isn't because they give a whole list of technical awards or even Best Picture or anything. But in terms of Oscar voters, actors make up the largest body of voters for the Academy Awards.
So it gives you a real good indication of where we're headed.
Yeah, especially for Best Actor and Best Actress and Supporting Actor and Supporting Actress. Although the categorizations are sometimes different between the Screen Actors Guild and the Oscars. And they don't give a Best Picture Award, but they do vote on Best Ensemble Cast, and sometimes that indicates where they might be headed. So A Star is Born, Black Klansman, and Black Panther both won Ensemble Award nominations, as well as Crazy Rich Asians. But A Star is Born, Black Klansman and Black Panther also won other nominations as well. So those three are kind of considered front runners in terms of Oscars. Now, the Best Actor and Actress leading nominees are Bradley Cooper for A Star is Born, Lady Gaga for A Star is Born, Sam Elliott for Scar is Born.
They really like that movie.
And also Black Klansman, John David Washington and Adam Driver both got nominations, as did Rami Malek from Bohemian Rhapsody, which is performing very, very well in the theaters. Kind of a surprise is that Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah, Black Panther fans are not going to be happy.
He's got a special magic in him as a performer, so a little bit of a surprise. Also surprised were Vice and If Beale Street Could Talk. They didn't get any Best Actor or Actress. Christian Bale and Amy Adams didn't get nominations as well, again, for those films. And Green Book did land Best Actor nominations for Mahershala Ali and Viggo Mortensen, but didn't get the Ensemble Award, which many thought it might. First Man, Ryan Gosling, Claire Foy didn't get any nominations as well. So anyway, that's a little bit of surprise. Roma, which is winning all kinds of awards and opens this week at the Michigan Theater for a very brief run, got the New York and Los Angeles Film Critic Award, but no SAG nominations. Now, the reason for this is that it was made in Mexico, so there aren't any Screen Actor Guild actors in it. And so that's one of the reasons it didn't.
If you're not in, you're out.
Well, and also it's an odd distribution, and there's a lot of odd things about Roma. Artistically, it is extremely well-reviewed. And as we said before, First Reform and If Beale Street Could Talk, a little bit of surprise that those didn't get Best nominations. Yeah. But The Favorite, with Olivia Colman and Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz, are getting great, great reviews for those performances for that film. So there's some good hope there. And then Melissa McCarthy's performance and Roger D. Grant's performance in Can You Ever Forgive Me? Also got recognized there, so that's pretty cool. Willem Dafoe, when he's playing Vincent Van Gogh at Ad Eternity Gates, which also opens this week here in town, is also got a nomination. And it was thought that he might win the Oscar last year
for the Florida Project.
So, you know, this might be a tip of the hat to maybe this is his year.
We missed you last year. We'll get you this year.
Absolutely. So anyway, lots of interesting data coming out on the nominations and the Screen Actors Guild. This is a very interesting way to read the tea leaves for what might happen with the Oscars.
Well, you mentioned that Roma was coming to town for a very short run.
That's right. It opens this Friday and plays just a week, so you'll have to take advantage of it in its very short run. This is Alphonse Cuarón's film, who did Gravity, which was very heavily nominated last year. Children of Men, Y Tu Mama Tambien, which was his real breakthrough film that came out. And Alphonse Cuarón premiered this film at the Venice Film Festival. It won the Golden Lion there. It's ended up on the top or near the top of a lot of critics' lists as the best best film. It's a gigantic scale picture in black and white, and it's odd because it was bought by Netflix, who's basically going to show it on TV in people's homes. But it's such a big scale picture.
It needs to be seen
in a theater. And the reason for that is there's some of the mise-en-scene, some of the way that he photographed it, that there's little things going on in the background that you should pay attention to. This could be really hard to see on even a big screen TV. So anyway, very interesting business dynamic.
People are going to watch it on their phone.
Yep. And it, and that would be a shame. But anyway, you're right that they will. But the critical consensus on Roma is very, very strong. So go see it the way it should be seen on a big screen just this week, and only at the Michigan Theater. There aren't very many places in the state that are playing the film, so we hope that a lot of people show up. At Eternity's Gate is also opening this week.
This is the William Dafoe potentially award-winning performance.
Right, directed by Julian Schnabel, who did Diving Bell and the Butterfly that won a lot of awards a few years ago. A visual artist and filmmaker, and it's literally a visual artist making a film about a visual artist in a film format that he's very, very good at doing, with a great performance by Willem Dafoe. So go check this out. Again, the critical response is very, very strong. Mads Mikkelsen is in it. Rupert Friend is in it. The critical consensus is led by a mesmerizing work from Willem Dafoe in the central role at Eternity's Gate's intriguingly imagined Vincent van Gogh's Troubles Final Days. And it is spectacular. Another film that is really spectacular. This is a very rich week for going to the movies as we lead up to the Christmas holidays, is The Favorite. Now, this is Yorgos Lanthimos' film. Now, he did The Lobster, which a lot of people liked and a lot of people didn't like. And this is set in 18th century England. And there's a war going on between England and France. And there's a lot of aristocratic hijinks going on with these three performances by Olivia Colman, Emma Stone, and Rachel Weisz, and they're all competing for the attention of the Queen, who is considered a little bit out of it in general, and the kind of dysfunction of an aristocratic court, and that is played with extensively in this. And again, the critical consensus is strong. The Favorite sees Yorgos Lanthimos's balancing a period setting against rich, timely subtext and getting roundly stellar performances from a well-chosen cast. So The Favorite, again, is just the year-end surprise as being such a critic darling and something that audiences are responding to very, very well as well. So Vox Lux is a little bit under the radar, although it shouldn't be, because Natalie Portman stars as this young woman who's building a pop career, and her performance is really outstanding. And she's childhood prodigy and then develops into this a pop star in a big way. Sounds kind of like Lady Gaga in right. a certain way. But again, Vox Lux probes the alluring and pitfalls of modern celebrity with sharp intelligence and visual style. It's held together by an assured performance by Natalie Portman. So that's worth checking out as well. Really strong. And then next Wednesday, so not this weekend, but next Wednesday as we lead up to the Christmas before Christmas weekend, Mary Poppins returns. So we'll talk about that.
And there might be some award buzz around that film, too.
Absolutely. So the performance by Emily Blunt is getting a lot of recognition. People are very much looking forward to the Lin-Manuel Miranda performance. It's kind of a tribute to Dick Van Dyke.
Right.
Dick Van Dyke is actually has a small role
in the
movie.
Got a cameo in there? That's great.
As well. And they take the setting and the kind of visuals from the original Mary Poppins in the same kind of tone and move it into the modern technology in ways that I think are really, really interesting. But anyway, we'll talk more about that next week. It opens Wednesday, which is the day before we'll do Cinema Chat next week, which will be a review of the year substantially,
looking,
I think.
Looking forward to it. So what's opening at the multiplex? There's a couple of movies that I know my kid wants to see.
Yeah, so Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is actually a film that that is an animated film on the Spider-Man legend and comic books that's gotten very good reviews. It's by the creative minds of the Lego movie, and the reviews on this are very strong as well. So not only are we getting the, you know, the kind of artistically valued films that we're showing at the Michigan Theater, but the popular film, an animated film. This may be the best animated film of the year as well. And then The Mule, which is a film I look forward to seeing.
Absolutely.
Stars Clint Eastwood and Bradley Cooper. And Clint Eastwood plays an 80-year-old man, which he is
right.
who becomes a drug trafficker.
Who would suspect?
That's right. Well, my 80-year-old father, several years ago, was driving up from visiting relatives in Missouri, and he got stopped by the police because he was driving the kind of car and was
the
kind
of profile.
Guy. Yeah, he fit the profile. So it's really interesting. The Mule is a very, and some people say this is the best Clint Eastwood movie in 25 years. And he's done a lot of great movies.
Yes,
in the
he
last
has. I mean, Gran Torino was great. Right?
Absolutely.
Well, pick a movie, go see at least one. For Russ Collins, I'm David Fair, and we thank you for joining us for another edition of Cinema Chat on 89.1 WEMU FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.
Ta ta from Hollywood.